T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, everyone. Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, March 27th, heading into the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long taking until 8 o'clock tonight. It was a rough one last evening for those Pelicans, man. Me and Charlie and obviously Mike, too, watching the game. And you get your hopes up and they get back into the game against the OKC Thunder, tough squad. Take a lead and then collapse at the end in front of another pretty raucous home crowd, I thought. And it just, for some reason, this team doesn't seem to be able to finish against those top opponents at times, which is pretty disappointing. Hopefully they can get back on the off the schneid and get back on the horse tomorrow against the Milwaukee Bucks squad that is pretty loaded and will be very dangerous in a matchup in the Smoothie King Center. I don't know what it is, though, about home court advantage. Maybe the Pels are better off without the four seed at this point. I don't know. They seem to be a better road team, Charlie, or is that just being crazy talk right now?
They are, but the Thunder are also a really elite team, both at home and on the road. They're 22-14 away from home, so it's not like they were playing. Like, the Thunder are really solid, and I don't want people that were listening in the first hour or saying that maybe Shea's a little bit overrated to think that I don't think he's outstanding. I think he's awesome, but I'm just not taking him over Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic. That's just my opinion.
I would say he's someone that's certainly in that realm.
Yeah, no, I think so too. He's going to finish top three in MVP voting this year because of how, you know, good the Thunder have been, how he's led them to this 50-21 record. The Thunder are going to be flirting with 55 wins this season. They're an elite team.
Yeah, like, Gilles Alexander's got a team around him too.
Issue that I have with the game last night is something that Dodson brought up when we were talking with Chris Dodson in the 4 o'clock hour. So many times you've seen the Pelicans blow those double-digit leads, and that's what the Thunder did last night.
Right.
And when you go from down 20 points to up 5 with a couple minutes left, you're feeling great. Like, you're feeling, we can steal this game. We can just, you're not supposed to win based off of how you were playing in the first three quarters. The Thunder were shooting like 61% by the third quarter. Like, that's not a winning formula. The Pelicans couldn't get stops in the first half.
Right.
They went down all the way 88-68. They fought all the way back, had a 5-point lead with 3 minutes left to go, and then they just floundered at the end. They made it all the way to the finish line, and they just tripped up. And that's what's the most disappointing about last night. And now you have to bounce back against the Bucks. And the Bucks, we've said it a couple times now, it's a winnable game for the Pelicans. Yes, the Bucks, the second best team in the Eastern Conference, they're not great on the road. You just saw what happened last night when that loss to the Lakers, where they, you know, blew a late lead and fell apart in overtime. They lost to LA. It's a game that you can get. And if you're looking at the schedule, if you split the next two games, if you can beat the Bucks and lose to the Celtics, or if you lose to the Bucks, that game against the Celtics becomes a must win. Because as we mentioned, 3-3 in the 6-game homestand would be favorable. But you can't start 0-3, and that puts way too much pressure on the back end. So splitting with the Bucks and the Celtics is, at a minimum, what you need to do. If not, maybe back-to-back wins. That would be huge, but it's got to start tomorrow night against Milwaukee.
Something we'll be keeping an eye on this evening, obviously. The Clippers are at the Philadelphia 76ers this evening. That's a 6:30 start. I think it's on ESPN, if I'm correct. I'll be checking that out, though. The Pels, obviously, after last night's loss, they dip back to that 5 seed and now a half game behind the LA Clippers, but that can all change immediately again tonight if the Philadelphia 76ers happen to do us a favor.
Yeah, and the Sixers have done us a couple favors recently, so we need them to do another one by beating the Clippers. That would put the Pelicans, as you mentioned, back to the 4 seed. So you're looking at the schedule tonight, a couple teams to root for. The Clippers are the obvious one, or the 76ers against the Clippers are the obvious one. And then also around the NBA, you could maybe root for the Grizzlies to knock the Lakers down a peg.
Absolutely, sure.
They're on a back-to-back. It's not going to happen, but you can we can always dream, right?
Right, exactly.
The Lakers are kind of getting hot at the right time. They've won four straight games.
Of course.
They're climbing up the standings a little bit. They're still four games back of the Pelicans, and with 10 games left, that's almost impossible to make up. At the same time, it would be nice for them to pick up a loss there. A little bit further down the line, you got the Rockets at the Thunder. So the Thunder are on a back-to-back. They went back home, and now they host the Rockets tonight. The Rockets are on a nine-game winning streak here, Steve. So, you know.
What's up with H-Town?
Yeah, right. They're getting hot. So that's another Western Conference playoff team that you can keep an eye on. The biggest one tonight, I mentioned the Suns.
Yes.
You don't need to necessarily worry about the Suns. But at the same time, these games, like their tough schedule, needs to start going against them. So they got the Nuggets on the road tonight on ESPN at 9 o'clock. That's, you got to be Denver fans tonight, because as long as two of those three teams between the Mavericks, Kings, and Suns don't jump the Pelicans, you avoid the play-in tournament.
And that's definitely at all costs. There is no realm of possibility we want to see that. We've been through it enough. This team's earned a spot, obviously, this season to be in that playoff spot. We don't playing games is not an option at this point. And yeah, for Denver, you're not going to catch a team like them in the standings, so might as well put the Suns away.
So the reason I mentioned the Rockets is because they're kind of coming up on the Warriors as well. They're only one game back of Golden State for that 10th spot in the play-in tournament, so that's something to keep an eye on. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to root for the Rockets to beat the Thunder or anything, but with the play-in tournament the way it is right now, the Kings, the Suns, the Lakers, and the Warriors in that 7-10 range, you're looking to maybe see if the Rockets can catch the Warriors. It would be pretty interesting. At the same time, you're rooting with all you can that the Suns can get knocked down a peg. They're only two games back of you, make it 2.5, and then we'll see what happens. Tomorrow night, the Mavericks play the Kings again. The Mavericks just smoked Sacramento last night, so we'll see what happens
there. Dallas is a problem.
Yeah, Dallas is getting hot too. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're on a five-game winning streak. They're breathing right down the Pelicans' neck. But at the same time, as you mentioned, Steve, I'm fine with the six seed as long as you're not in the 7-10 range. As long as you're not in the play-in tournament, that's all I care about. You can go for, you know, the Clippers if they lose and you get to the four seed and you're hosting a playoff series, great. I just don't want to be at the 7-10 spot.
We're going to get back into some football talk after the break. A Super Bowl champ, Saints pregame and postgame analyst Scott Shanley will join us. We'll get his thoughts on what Dennis Allen had to say at the NFL meetings in Orlando recently, and also some thoughts on the recent NFL rule changes. Curious to see what a former NFL player thinks about the new kickoff rules, the elimination of the hip drop tackle. We'll be right back with more sports talk on WWL right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Remember, WWL is your home for LSU baseball. Next up for the Tigers, three-game series against number one Arkansas. First game's tomorrow evening. Pre-game will be 5:30, first pitch at 6, and the Tigers will take on the Razorbacks Friday in Fayetteville. That's a 7 o'clock game, 6:30 pre-game coverage. And Saturday's matchup is an afternooner, 1:30 pre-game, 2 o'clock first pitch. All of it right here on WWLAMFM.com. And streaming live on the free Odyssey app. We got into the Pelicans, obviously, Charlie, a disappointing evening for them. At least LSU baseball was able to put a smile on our face, getting back in the win column against the Southeastern team that always seems to give the Tigers some troubles.
Yeah, LSU's won, I think, 30 of the last 32 versus Southeastern, but that game earlier on in Hammond was super tight and really came down to the wire. This one was not that. I mean, LSU's sluggers came out to play. A couple of big home runs, a pair of two-run shots by Hayden Travinsky and Tommy White. Mac Bingham also having a nice 3-for-3 night. Eight pitchers used in the game, as well as Steve, but a lot of them, you know, kind of keeping the weekend rotation guys healthy. It's going to be interesting to see how Jay decides to play this Thursday game tomorrow night. We talked with Scott Sanders. He said that he could see Thatcher Hurd being the starter on short rest and maybe throwing around 75 pitches, which would be about 4 innings for him.
Right. Surprisingly, right now, it still has to be announced.
It's still listed as TBA, and, you know, you're saving Luke Holman for Friday, so he's on normal rest
right
against Mason Molina, who's typically the Sunday starter for Arkansas, but the Sunday starter for Arkansas is, you know, the Friday night starter for a team like Texas Tech, which he transferred from. So, and then that Sunday or the Saturday start, the game three, is going to be Brady Tigert versus Gage Jump, another really interesting matchup. I'm interested to see what happens that Thursday night. I think, as Scott said, it could be Thatcher goes 4 innings, and then it's kind of a bullpen game from there on against, you know, such an elite pitcher like Hagen Smith. We'll have to see kind of how things play out. And then you have a pitching advantage in game two with Luke Holman. You have your ace on the mound versus their game three starter. I think that's a pretty big advantage. And then it will all come down to a potential, you know, game three with Tigert versus Jump. And I think that's another really tight pitching matchup as well.
Besides the issues or concerns, obviously, with the mound heading to a place like Arkansas, the bats for the Tigers, just we're still waiting for that consistency, at least in the SEC play. I haven't really worried about their production much in the midweek matchups.
No, they've been fine in the midweek. It's been the weekend stuff. Like, if you're scoring 6 to 7 runs per game in a weekend series in the SEC, you're feeling pretty good about yourselves. The issue is that LSU hasn't been consistent with that. I mean, they scored 6 runs in that game one victory over Florida. Luke Holman was awesome in that game. And then they go down to 4 runs, and then they go down to 2. And that's just not going to cut it. Like, they're going to have to figure out how to get some production. Sanders also mentioned finding the leadoff hitter is a huge deal for this team. Like, because he's kind of cycled through a couple different guys for that spot. And Dylan Cruz was so automatic for there for a long time last year. So that's going to be a big key as well.
Yeah, you feel like that Jay's been doing a lot of tinkering, trying to find the right lineup, trying to find the right rotation, all in general, especially with the outfield too. That's been something that he's been tinkering with a lot. Curious to see how this Tiger team definitely responds at a number one team like Arkansas over the weekend, because we saw they dropped the home matchup against Florida, had a tough outing, you know, with Mississippi State on the road, and now another one in the SEC. Obviously, we know it doesn't get any easier from here on out for the Tigers. Happy to now welcome, though, switching gears up to football, getting into some Saints talk with current Super Bowl champ. He's not a former Saints linebacker, Scott Shanley, joining us, does pregame and postgame analyst work for them. Thank you for the time, Scott. How you been today?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing good.
Looking at the NFL rule changes have been much of the talk since we've learned of a brand new kickoff and the elimination of a hip drop tackle. Going to go to the tackle in first for you, since you probably have had more experience in that realm, I would imagine. Just to you, does this hip drop tackle really, was a problem in the NFL where it was causing these injuries that was a concern for the outlook for players?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand it, but as a defensive player, and I'm sure the fans, you know, the fans aren't going to like it because for one reason, obviously, and it's going to determine games. And I think we can all get on board with most rule changes if they're officiated consistently and they're not costing fans their team's games. I think that's really what it comes down to. Nobody liked it when you couldn't hit the quarterback low. Nobody liked it when the horse collar thing went into effect. You adjust how you play the game. And this hip drop tackle, some games it doesn't even happen. It's not like it happens every game. And, yeah, it is a dangerous tackle because all your weight can fall on the back of the legs of a ball carrier. But at some point, you just got to get back to it's football. And you can't make rule changes every offseason to eliminate a type of tackle that injured somebody during the season. It seems like that's the path we're going down. If a star player or somebody gets injured with a certain type of tackle, now we're going to try to get it out of the game. At some point, you're no longer going to have football, so I hope they kind of dial it back a little bit.
I was going to say, a lot of the talk has been, you know, people saying, oh, just might as well put flags on them already for next season. I don't know if you really feel that strongly, though, about this move here.
No, I don't. And it was, like I said, it was the same thing when people talk about the horse collar tackle and especially hitting the quarterbacks. I think people still don't like how finesse the game is when it comes to the quarterback position.
Right.
But we can all agree, we like to see Mahomes play all year long. We like to see these guys stay healthy, especially when owners are paying them $50 million a year. You like to show up on Sunday and watch those guys play. So I do understand that. But like I said, there's a lot of games. You watch a ton of games, and you won't see one hip drop tackle in a game. So I think it's getting a little blown out of proportion with how big a deal it is. But like I said, the biggest thing is fans are concerned it's going to cost their teams games, because we've seen the officiating the past few years. It hasn't been consistent at all from week to week. So I think that's the most concerning thing for me is it going to determine games?
Looking at the new kickoff rule coming to the NFL, Saints special teams coach Darren Rizzi, one of the guys in the forefront helping push that along. And all eyes and ears are talking about how it's going to help open up things and encourage more returns in the game. I don't know. Looking at it for me, I'm not sure we are going to see more returns come next season, but hoping that play can get more juice and be revitalized because, kickoffs have become kind of boring in the league.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of this rule change, really, to be honest. I think it's kind of gimmicky. I just think it looks bad. I think it looks like it's preseason. Like, it's like a practice type. You're in a Saturday walkthrough practice. That's what we used to do. I don't like it. I don't like the way it looks. I think there's other ways to remedy getting the kickoff, getting it to be exciting again, because I agree with you 100%. You're eliminating young special teams players. You're eliminating return guys who can be dynamic. I say the kickoff really died when they allowed you to fair catch and the ball automatically be advanced. Just back the kicker up. These kickers can kick the ball to the end zone. Now make them kick from the 25. If you really want to make the kickoff return a part of the game again, there's ways to do it. I just don't think this is the answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not very fond of any kind of major changes throughout the league. I guess I'm an old fart when it comes to that. I like things to stay the same too. I'm just wondering if it does help returns. I'm all about that, obviously, just because I feel like everything is either out the end zone or a touchback. But it still seems like you were saying that the kickers still have this leg, or they're going to be able to kick it for a touchback no matter what.
Yeah, the kickers just keep on getting better and better. Their legs are getting stronger. They're definitely, their skill sets are, there's not many people on the planet that can do what they do, kicking the ball off consistently, directionally kicking, doing all those things. Like I said, I think there's easier ways, better ways to get the kickoff back into the game. And really the concern for me is the game of football is getting rid of special teams. And special teams is the third element of the three teams. And you're getting rid of young guys who can make rosters based on their special teams play. Because if I'm a team, I'm going to keep a lot of veteran players, one-year minimum veteran guys who can play linebacker or fullback or tight end. So my concern is you're really getting rid of special teams out of the game. You don't even know it by making these rule changes.
Scott, I think the interesting thing, though, as far as the Saints go, is that Darren Rizzi is one of the guys that was leading this kind of charge for the new kickoff rule. So I think he obviously has a plan on, how he would kind of impact it with the Saints special teams with the new kickoff rule. And I think it could be an edge for the Saints that have been so good on special teams already.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Anytime you present a rule change, you obviously have something in mind. I can always go along with a coach when they're talking about making something safer. I do understand, the collisions that happen. One of my biggest things why I want to get off special teams in my first and second year in the league is because of special teams. But some of those collisions are violent. When you're blocking James Harrison coming down on a kickoff and he's running 50 yards at you and compressing your neck five times a game, like, I understand that part of the game can become safer. I'm concerned that rosters will be changed because of the type of guys who can make teams based on their special teams play.
And then, Scott, the kind of news that dropped yesterday, Dennis Allen talking about Ryan Ramczyk's health update. I want to get your thoughts on that. It seems like it's kind of bleak as far as an update goes. Just a month ago, he had said that he was going to have the off-season knee procedure. And then now he's saying that he's not as far along in his recovery process he was hoping he would be, as far as Ramczyk was also hoping to be.
Yeah, it's definitely looking dire. At the end of last year, there were already murmurs and rumors of a possible retirement for Ryan. And it would be a shame. It'd be a shame if he didn't. But ultimately, you have to live with your health the rest of your life. So whatever his rehab is going like, he obviously knows if he can play at this level and come back from this type of injury. But if he has to retire, Ryan was playing – if Ryan does have to retire, it obviously puts the Saints in a huge pickle. Well, you don't have a tackle. Trevor Penning really needs to step up. They drafted you to be a cornerstone tackle, whether it's right or left. You got to get something figured out, because it's hard to replace one tackle, let alone have two spots where you need to replace. But going back to Ryan, he played as good as any player in the league for 4 or 5 years there. He was an elite tackle. It's hard to believe we had him and Terron Armstead at the same time. But hopefully he can come back. But if not, he goes down as one of the best tackles in Saints history for sure.
No, I would absolutely agree. And then I think it also impacts what you're doing in the draft. You kind of hinted a little bit at it there. The good news is that, you know, Mike Dettillier and I have talked about it endlessly. This is such a deep tackle class. Like, there's so many top-level tackles that you can get in the first, even second round. You have the 14th overall pick. Does that kind of push you towards drafting a tackle there? I think that there are plenty of guys that could be there.
There's no question about it. I say that, and you say that, and we all know how you build championship teams is through the draft, especially on the line of scrimmage. And the Saints were dominating week in, week out. It was when the offensive line was as good as it was in the league, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. But that being said, you can hear Saints fans kind of roll their eyes when you talk about taking a tackle at 14, right? Because they've done it so many times. You have to have guys who can block. There's no doubt about it. These edge rushers, they just keep getting bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic. They can dip, they can bend, they can run the hoop around the corner. You have to have big guys who can anchor that, and as well as are athletic enough to block those guys. And that's kind of, going back to Trevor, that's been his struggle, is his feet are a little too heavy, and he struggles blocking that speed off the edge. But if you can find a tackle at 14 who can be your tackle for 8 to 10 years, you have to do that. You have to draft that guy.
Scott, the NFL projected win totals came out recently. Odds makers having the Saints at the under over set at 7.5 just seems really low for this squad. Was 9 wins last season. Their projected win total was 9.5. So Vegas was kind of close there, obviously. But 7.5 wins going into this season just seems awfully low for this squad.
It does. It does. And I think the reason that number is so low is because last year, a lot of people took the over on that 9-10 win.
Oh, yeah.
I certainly was one of them.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think Vegas said, listen, we're not going to do that again. We're going to put the number even lower. But I still like this team in this division. I really do. I think in the NFC South, I know Atlanta got better. You think Carolina will be better. Tampa Bay brought back their receiver and quarterback. But I still like this Saints team in the NFC South. I think a lot of that reason for that seven and a half wins is because of their non-division schedule. You look at, you're playing the AFC West, you got the Chiefs, teams like that. So, but I still like this team, especially because of the NFC South.
Yeah, you mentioned Atlanta. Surprisingly, they have them at 10.5 wins.
That seems high, Scott.
Yeah, I was just blown away. I was like, okay, you added Kirk Cousins, but I don't think it's going to be that massive of a turnaround year one of the Kirk Cousins era there.
Yeah, 36-year-old quarterback coming off a major surgery, Achilles injury.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a high win total, but I think it definitely because they addressed the quarterback position,
right?
But I think more so because of Bijan Robinson. You look at Pitts, you look at the dynamic young weapons they have, and I think that's a big reason. But that's a lot of wins for Atlanta, who has really underachieved with those weapons. So, and a new first-year head coach and Raheem Morris, he may be an outstanding coach in his second turnaround, but when he was at Tampa, you know, they weren't really that good when he was a head coach there, but yeah, a lot of those win totals, I think, because they address the quarterback position, but because of those young guns they have at the skill positions.
Real quick on the Panthers, so they added Jadeveon Clowney to the mix today. Definitely get a guy that's getting up there in age, but when he wants to, I feel like he can still be pretty productive.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably had an underwhelming career when you look at where he was taken in the draft, and he's bounced around some teams and been kind of a role player, and you can never have enough pass rushers. So I think when you look at Carolina and you ship off a guy like Brian Burns, who is outstanding defensive end, and you got some draft picks back for him, I think getting a guy like Clowney, a veteran who's been around, played a lot of football, can be a leader for the young guys that you're probably going to draft. I think you couldn't have addressed that position any better, I think, when you look at it.
And then, Scott, my last question for you. You saw what happened. I think it was earlier in the week. Legarius Sneed getting traded to the Tennessee Titans for a 3rd-round pick and a 7th-round pick. And if that's the going rate for one of those top cornerbacks, I mean, Scott, there's no reason you're trading Marshon Lattimore, right?
There's no question. You're exactly right. And I think a lot of people thought Marshon would probably get moved this offseason. I really thought the Detroit Lions would come calling with Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell. I thought they would give up a two and a four, something like that. But yeah, when Legarius Sneed, who's a really good corner, I actually had the privilege of training him in Dallas before the draft, outstanding young man, and so happy for him. But yeah, for some reason, the trade value on elite corners or top tier corners, starting corners, just was not there this offseason. I think if it was, Marshawn maybe would have got moved, but you can't give away players like that.
Always thankful for the time, Scott. Oh, yeah, what do you think about more Christmas games coming? I can't believe it's going to be Wednesday and we're going to be talking NFL football on a Christmas Wednesday now.
It's crazy. And you know what's coming after that? There's going to be 18 games, which circles me back to this whole player safety thing. Let's move the guys closer on kickoff for player safety, but we'll be at 20 games and playing on every major holiday.
Right, and every day, too. I'm sure the NBA will love that. Always thankful, Scott. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Super Bowl champ Scott Shanley does Saints pregame and postgame analyst work for them as well. Always appreciate the time from him. Wanted to get those insights on some of those rule changes coming in the NFL. And man, oh man, you heard Scott not a fan of the kickoff change, thinks it could be done a different way. And the hip drop tackle, not really that much of an issue, but is concerned too about the changes coming too much in the NFL. We don't want to see the game, you know, the one we love and continue to watch be drastically changed in any way. We're going to be coming back with more sports talk right after this. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. That's 504-260-1870. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. Next hour, we're going to be talking a little MLB baseball. It's opening day already tomorrow, folks. Hard to believe we're here at the start of the MLB, Major League Baseball season. Gary Sarnoff, author of Team of Destiny, Walter Johnson, Clark Griffin, Bucky Harris, and the 1924 Washington Senators will be joining us to talk about his book. He's also a baseball historian. Going to be talking about heading into this season, who he likes in the World Series that'll be coming up, and anything baseball history involved. He's a stat man. Anxious to talk to him. I'm contemplating, Charlie, getting a road trip last minute together, Saturday trek to the Houston Astros game to check out the Yankees and make it back in time for Easter Sunday. The tickets surprisingly are not bad right now.
Just so you can go see your Stankies get beat by my Astros, Steve? Come on now.
I usually, back in the day when I didn't have so many responsibilities, tried to make it to opening day all the time, and even did a few opening days at away places. Got to go to Chicago to see the Cubs, Atlanta Braves. But it's been a while since I've done an opening day just because of work, responsibilities, and all that. Won't be able to make it, obviously, for tomorrow, but I think I could pull off Saturday, after Sports Talk Friday, take off, stay in the hotel, walk around Houston all day Saturday, enjoy the game, drive back, make it home for the Easter Bunny.
I'm really looking forward to actually talking with Gary because I think that, Houston's one of those teams that's one to keep an eye on. I think the AL West is really top-heavy. Like, you have the defending champion Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros, which are the preseason favorite to win that division, and then the Seattle Mariners, who have as good of a rotation as anyone in pro baseball. So, who's going to come out in that division? I think it's going to be pretty interesting. Maybe that division has three teams in the playoffs, so they expanded field with wildcard teams. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to watch some good baseball. I think the big concern early on for the Yankees is their pitching staff. Like, can Carlos Rodon have a bounce back year after a really tough season last year? And then Garrett Cole missing some time, their ace level pitcher, Cy Young winner, is going to be out for the first couple months. So how bad does that kind of bury them early on? With, once again, the AL East is also pretty good as well. The AL Central just stinks. You can look past that. But the AL West has some really good teams. Same thing with the AL East. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Gary about that.
Yeah, just looking forward in general to the baseball season. There's nothing like being in a ballpark. I'm so sad that the Shrine on Airline is gone. It's just all about rugby, the gold mine there. And I thought we'd be getting a minor league baseball team back after the Baby Cakes left. There was talks about maybe a double-A or single-A team even coming in, but they've reconfigured things there completely, and it is no longer a baseball park.
Got to watch some college ball if you want to catch some baseball down here. And, I mean, there's some great college baseball teams down here as
for
well.
Sure.
So, I mean, LSU and UL and Southeastern and, so.
Yeah, definitely need to make our trek up to an LSU baseball game without a rain delay this year for sure with the gang. We should be scheduling that soon because we waited last minute and kind of tried to make it happen in the postseason and just failed miserably.
Yeah, that didn't really work out. We tried to, at first to let everyone know, it was the regional last year, the Baton Rouge regional we wanted to go see, and we were hoping that we'd see Paul Skeens pitch because we weren't going to go on that first day, and obviously Skeens pitched that first game against Tulane, which we weren't anticipating. So we wanted to see Skeens pitch. It didn't end up working out that way. We're like, all right, that's fine. We'll watch, you know, Ty Floyd pitch against Oregon State. And then Oregon State and I think it was Sam Houston State ended up getting rain delayed, and we were waiting, and then we didn't end up catching any baseball because there was lightning every, you know, 5 minutes for what felt like 3.5 hours.
That was frustrating just because, yeah, there wasn't a drop of rain. We just saw the fireworks in the sky lighting up behind the clouds, and every time it was like, well, that's another 15 minutes.
No, we definitely got to make it out to the box at some point. I mean, there's some, a couple good, really good SEC opponents coming to Alec Box Stadium too, so we'll be out there. I made it out already this season. I got to go see them play opening weekend. I watched Luke Holman's first performance in a Tiger uniform, and he's been awesome this year. We'll make it back out to the box.
We need like a railway from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, just like a straight shot up there to make it nice and easy. Although the drive's not terrible at times, but I know everyone always complains about the traffic in Baton Rouge. I felt like our trek there wasn't that bad, but it was also the weather delay probably didn't helped us out with that as well.
The trek was fine. It was just that we didn't watch any baseball, which is what we went up for. So, you know, once again, we'll make a trip out to an SEC series at some point. I really want to see what happens this weekend against Arkansas. If LSU can get 2 of 3 from this Razorback squad, it's a huge win. And a huge confidence builder heading into a matchup against Vanderbilt, which is next weekend, which, you know, maybe could be a little hinting at one of those series that we can go see. Vanderbilt's a really good team, and that could be a fun series to go check out.
Going to take a break. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk right after this here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, winding down the 6 o'clock hour. I am kicking myself now, Charlie, thinking about we had Scott Shanley on talking about the NFL rule changes. We were all entrenched in the new kickoff procedures, and I didn't even ask him about the surprise onside kick now being officially dead. There will no longer be ambush like the Saints had in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you have to announce it now. That's the new rule. But the onside kickoff rules are still the same. Like, it's still the same formation. So, you know, the kickoff rule changed the regular kickoff formation. Onside kickoff, as far as I know, is still the same formation as it was in years prior. You just have to announce it now.
Yeah, I don't know why that has to be the case. It just seems a little odd to me. It's that it takes that whole element of surprise out of it, and with that rule now in place, something like what the Saints pulled off in the Super Bowl against the Colts will never be duplicated again.
Yeah, it's a relic. So, I mean, but that's the way, same thing with the hip drop tackle. That's a thing of the past now. So, but as Shanley mentioned with that too, Steve, is it really that big of a deal? Like, I mean, I think that adding more rules to ban, you know, defensive players from tackling is not the correct course of action for the NFL. But Shanley made a good point. How often do you see a hip drop tackle in a single game?
Right, exactly. And it's going to be curious to see now how much, I guess, maybe our attention is brought to it. It'll be penalized in the NFL this year. I know the kickoff rule change is a one-year experiment. I don't know if the hip drop tackle is something that is going to be implemented. They're seeing for the long term. I'm guessing so, since it's more involvement with player safety, although the kickoff rule is as well. They're saying that, you know, you won't have players speeding down the field in those high velocity collisions now.
Yeah, and that's why they're trying to get rid of it with, you know, the hip drop tackle circling back around to
kind of like the horse collar tackle now, huh?
You just think of, you know, as Shanley mentioned, when the first hit on Aaron Rodgers, that Anthony Barr where he crushed his collarbone when he landed on the quarterback, that sparked change as far as where you can hit quarterbacks. The hip drop tackle is a little bit different. There haven't been that many high profile cases of a hip drop tackle injuring a player. And you've seen like a couple different plays from last year where it looks routine. It looks like a routine tackle.
That's what's scary.
And now it's going to be banned.
For sure, right.
And that's my issue with it. That's my biggest issue, is that it leaves a lot into the referee's hands. And if they're throwing a flag on a play that's looking like it's a routine tackle, but they say that the defender landed his weight on the offensive player's legs.
Yeah.
And they throw a flag and it ends up ruining, you know, a drive or something like that. Yeah, that's where it gets a little concerning for me.
When we get back from the break, we'll be talking some MLB baseball. Gary Sarnoff, author of Team of Destiny, about the 1924 Washington Senators, will be joining us. Also talking opening day in Major League Baseball is tomorrow. Baseball fans out there, are you Cubbies or you Astros? I'm curious. Call us.
Go Astros.
504-260-1870. Let us hear it. Right back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.